بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We come in this lesson to the final lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, from the treatise Ad-Durus al-Muhimma li-Ammat al-Ummah of Al-Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah. And in the previous lesson, we went through Ad-Dars al-Thamin Ashar, Tajheez al-Mayyit wa Salatu alayhi, the preparation of the deceased and the Salah over him. And when we talk about Tajheez al-Mayyit, meaning from the time just before he dies until he is buried. So we began with when the person is on his deathbed and the etiquettes of making him say La ilaha illallah. And this is called At-Talqeen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That prompt those people who are close to their death to say La ilaha illallah. So from this hadith, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ, we understand that sometimes the word مَوْتَاكُمْ, you're dead, it can also refer to those people who are living, but they are close to their death. And another evidence for this is the dua which we make in the salah before at-taslim. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam wa min adhabi al-qabr wa min fitnati al-mahya'i wal-mamat wa min sharri fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave, of jahannam. I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. I seek refuge in you from the fitna of living and dying, mamad. And the meaning of fitna is al-ikhtibar wal-imtihan, is a test. So death, khalas, the test has finished. There is no more test in death. And the ulama mentioned that the meaning of fitna til-mahya wal-mamad, the fitna of death, i.e. is the last moments of life before death. That a person remains patient through the pain of the suffering and the illness and so on and so forth. So sometimes we have in the Arabic language, mayyit might be mentioned, but it refers to somebody who is close to their death or the moments before their death. لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ, prompt or encourage those who are close to their death to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Also, the closing of the eyes and the tying of the jaws, if the jaws are open. And then after that, we went to through ghusl mayyit, and then we went through at-takfeen or kafan, enshrouding him. Then after this, we went through sifat al-salat al-mayyit, how to pray the janazah prayer over the mayyit. And also we went through ad-dafan, the burial of the deceased person, and the difference between ash-shaq and al-lahad, and we mentioned all of this. In this short, concise lesson, bi-idhnillah, we're going to go through three matters. Firstly, al-ta'ziyah, and secondly, al-ihdad, and thirdly, ziyarat al-qabr. So, al-ta'ziyah, this is translated as English as meaning offering condolences. And al-ihdad is the waiting period, or the period of mourning after somebody has died. Mourning with M-O-U-R, like that, mourning. And as for ziyarat al-qabr, then this is the etiquettes of visiting the graves. So, at-ta'ziyah, what is the meaning of ta'ziyah? And what is the intended objective behind at-ta'ziyah? At-ta'ziyah, in the Arabic language, it means at-tasliyah wa-tasbir. And at-tasliyah, it means to comfort somebody. This is the meaning of at-tasliyah, to offer words of comfort. And for this reason, when we translate at-ta'ziyah, we say condolences, because at-ta'ziyah, it is at-tasliyah. And also it is at-tasbir, from the word as-sabr. And at-tasbir, i.e. encouraging people upon patience. So if we understand the Arabic meaning of ta'ziyah, we understand the objectives behind going to give condolences. At-tasliyah wa-tasbir, that you go to offer words of comfort to the family of the deceased. You go to lessen their worrying and their sadness, and also to encourage them to be patient and have iman in Allah, and so on and so forth. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, in his book Al-Adhkar, he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَزْكِي وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَعْزِيَ هِيَا التَّصْبِيرِ. He said, you should know that at-ta'ziyah, it is at-tasbir. It is encouraging a person to be patient. وَذِكْرُ مَا يُسَلِّي صَاحِبَ الْبَيْتِ. And also to offer words of tasliyah to the people of the house. وَيُخَفِّفْ حُزُنَهُ. And offer those words which are going to lessen or alleviate his worries. وَيُهَوِّنْ مَصِيبَتَهُ. And that which is going to lessen the calamity. وَهِيَ مُسْتَحِبَّةٌ. And it is mustahab. It is recommended. فَإِنَّهَا مُشْتَمِلَةٌ عَلَى الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And also it includes within it the encouraging of goodness and the forbidding of evil. وَهِيَ دَاخِلَةٌ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And it comes under the saying of Allah, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, cooperate with each other upon righteousness and التَّقْوَى. وَهِيَ دَاخِلَةٌ فِي حَدِيثِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. And also it enters into the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah is in the aid of his brother, Allah is in the aid of his servant as long as a person is in the aid of his brother. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. Allah is in the help of his slave, his worshipper, as long as the person is helping his brother. So this shows us the objectives behind at-ta'ziyah. Also, at-ta'ziyah, it isn't limited to somebody who has passed away. Rather, the istihbab, the sunniyah, the encouragement is to visit anybody who has been afflicted by any calamity. And this enters into the word at-ta'ziyah, because it is at-tasliyah wa-tasbir. It is offering words of comfort, dua, encouragement, and patience. So anybody who is musab, anybody who has been afflicted by a musibah, by a calamity, then the ta'ziyah is done. Somebody becomes ill, somebody fails in an exam, for example, somebody has an accident, somebody's child becomes ill, and so on and so forth. Anything like this. Somebody goes through a divorce, somebody's feeling weak in his iman. This is one of the greatest, the worst masaib that a person can be upon. So we go to that person, we visit him, we sit with him, we offer him words of encouragement, we tell him to be patient. All of this comes under at-ta'ziyah. Secondly, what is the hukam? What is the ruling of at-ta'ziyah? At the least, it is mustahab. The least level we can say is that it is something which is encouraged and highly recommended for us to do. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it. And also because it fosters al-ukhuwah. It fosters brotherhood between the Muslims. And also because of the ayat and the ahadith we mentioned. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. This is from at-ta'awun. And that Allah is pleased with a person who is in the help of his brother. And the hadith of the Prophet, الدِّينُ نَصِيحَة. This religion, it is sincere advice. And the hadith of the Prophet, unsur akhaka dhaliman kana aw madhloom. Help your brother if he is being oppressed or he is oppressing. So all of these meanings, al-muslimu akhul muslim. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. And the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for him self. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, that the most beneficial, the most beloved person to Allah is the one who is most beneficial to other people. وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ, and the most beloved action to Allah is happiness, which you enter upon a Muslim, which is spread to another Muslim. أَوْ تُذْهِبُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً, or you remove a worry from him. أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا, or you pay a debt for him. أَوْ تَسُدُّ لَهُ جُوعًا, or you remove his hunger from him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ لَهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْإِعْتِكَافِ شَهْرًا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. He said, for me to walk with my brother in order to tend to one of his needs is more beloved to me than performing i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. So consider the beautiful messages and the beautiful statements which are in this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for me to walk with my brother in order to listen or to tend to one of his needs is more beloved to me than al-i'tikaf fil masjid shahran, is to perform i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. And really, if a person sat with this lengthy hadith and contemplated it and thought about the benefits of this hadith and the beauty of this hadith and how it fosters brotherhood and the feeling of being a single ummah amongst the people, you could sit for a whole hour and give a whole lecture just on this hadith. Just contemplate the last part of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَأَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخِي لِحَاجَةٍ لَهُ, for me to walk with my brother to listen to a need of his, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْإِعْتِكَافِ شَهْرًا, more beloved to me than making i'tikaf for a whole month. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, did he say, for me to fulfill, alaykum salam, for me to fulfill the needs of my brother? No, he did not say. He said just to walk with him. So never mind fulfilling his need and taking care of his need. He only said just for me to walk with him, just so I can listen to his need. Just this amount of help is better than what? Al-i'tikafu fil masjid shahran, to perform i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. Three things. I'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. What is i'tikaf? I'tikaf luzum al-masjid ta'atan lillah, is for a person to devote himself to the masjid in obedience to Allah. Meaning i'tikaf is for you to divorce yourself from the dunya and devote yourself to the masjid. And what do you do when you're making i'tikaf? Nawafil, salah, sadaqah, dhikr, dua, tilawatul Qur'an. On top of that, a person is normally fasting when you make i'tikaf. Normally a person fasts when they make i'tikaf. So look, better than i'tikaf. And then what did he say? Fil masjidi. Where was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam living and saying this? Where did he used to pray? Where did he used to make i'tikaf? Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. In which a single salah is equal to 1,000 salawat in the other masajid. And then did he say for a single day? No, i'tikaf for a whole month. And yet just walking to listen to the need of your Muslim brother is better and more beloved to the Prophet than all of this combined. So now you understand the fadl of taking care of each other's need. So a ta'ziyah, it enters into this. Also, with regards to ta'ziyah, is there a particular time frame that it has to be done in? With many of the Muslims, we think that a ta'ziyah has to be done within 3 days. And this is incorrect. There's no fixed time for a person to offer a ta'ziyah, and neither is there a fixed place for it to be done. So we think that you have to go to the house within the first 3 days and you have to speak to the person who's deceased. And all of this, there's no evidence for it. So there's no time limit and there's no set place, and neither is there any set mode of communication. So a person can do it within the first hour or even after a week, no problem. Until we see that the person is still afflicted with this sadness. No, and sometimes maybe a person is not mourning anymore, but they are feeling the sadness even a month later on, even 2 months later on, it affects the person emotionally and psychologically, especially when it is the death, a sudden death of a child or something sudden like this. So until that person is suffering and feeling the effects of that calamity, then ta'ziyah, it can continue. And also, it doesn't have to be in the house. You can visit them in the house, in the masjid, at work. If you meet them in the town, you offer them a tasliya wa tasbir. And also, there isn't a single mode of communication. Whether you go and visit that person physically, or you ring the person, or you send a text message, if it is better to send a text message, or any other appropriate way that you feel is appropriate for that person. Because the objective is a tasliya and a tasbir. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting in the masjid, and when the family of Ja'far radiallahu anhu, when they passed away, when he passed away, then the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was sitting in the masjid. So the point is that ta'ziyah does not have a particular set place that it has to be announced that this is where the ta'ziyah, or in our language they say afsos, this is where it is being given. And the next issue is with regards to ta'ziyah, does it have to be done in a particular way? Are there certain words that have to be used? Then again, it is allowed for a person to offer ta'ziyah with any words and with any message which fulfills this Islamic obligation of at-tasliya wa at-tasbir. However, that which is better is to say, or at least begin with, that which has been established in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, in some of the narrations, like the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe it was one of his grandchildren who passed away, and so he went to his daughter and he said to her, "Inna lillahi ma akhadh wa lahu ma a'ta," that for Allah is that which he has taken and for Allah is that which he has given. وَكُلٌّ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, and everybody has a set time with Allah. فَالْتَصْبِرِي وَالْتَحْتَسِبِي, so be patient and seek your reward with Allah. So this statement is narrated and therefore it can be said. Also saying, for example, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, any musibah. Or for example, the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made to Salama for Abu Salama. And Abu Salama, he was the stepbrother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through rida'a, through suckling. They had the same foster mother. And the Prophet, when he died, the Prophet said to her, "Allahumma ighfir li Abi Salama," or, "Oh Allah, forgive for Abu Salama." "Warfa' darajatahu fil mahdiyin," and raise his ranks amongst the guided ones. And so on and so forth. So these ad'iya, which are narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they can be began with and they can be said. But any other word in any other language which offers support and comfort and tasliya and condolences and orders with patience, all of this is correct. And also to remind the person of two things specifically, or three things we can say. First of them is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his hikmah, na'am, his wisdom. Because sometimes when a person is afflicted by something, he can't think about the wisdom of Allah in this. Why is Allah taking away my son and he's only 13 years old? So reminding them of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at-tawheed. Secondly, al-imanu bil-qadr. Teaching the people about iman in the decree of Allah. And that everything has ajalun musamma. Everything has a set time with Allah. And everything Allah decrees with a wisdom from Him. And finally, al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. What Allah has prepared for the believers from His forgiveness, from His fadl, from His virtue, the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on yawm al-qiyamah, jannah, and other matters like this. And then there are a number of matters which are linked to ta'ziyah. First of them is it permitted for a Muslim to go give ta'ziyah to a non-Muslim? And the ulama, they differ regarding this. And the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, which our ulama today are upon, is that it is allowed for a Muslim to go give ta'ziyah to a non-Muslim, regardless of whether it is death or any other musibah, as long as he is not harbi. And harbi means that they are not at war with the Muslims. Because the kuffar, there are types, the two basic types are harbi and ghair harbi. Those who are at war with the Muslims and those who are not at war with the Muslims. So now, for example, we live in this country, wallahu a'lam, the Muslims who are around us, our neighbors, our colleagues at work, they're not fighting wars against us, but we live with them in peace and in safety and so on and so forth. So if one of them passes away, then yes, it is permitted to go and offer ta'ziyah to them. However, this ta'ziyah, it cannot be dua for the person who has died. If the person died as a kafir, then there's no more dua for him if he has died upon al-kufr. But to offer them words of comfort and condolences and to encourage them to be patient, and also as a form of da'wah to them, showing them Islam and ordering them with goodness, all of this is correct. Then the other issue is with regards to the some of the mistakes which occur nowadays, in that when a death happens, all of the people, they gather in one particular place, and then food is prepared for those people who are gathering. And the ulama mentioned that this is also something which is not permitted, because of the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu. He said, "Kunna na'udd al-ijtima' li ahl al-mayyit wa sun' al-ta'am lahu min al-niyaha." He said, we used to consider, we the Sahaba, we used to consider al-ijtima' li ahl al-mayyit, that all of us gathering for the family of the deceased, was sun' al-ta'am lahu, and the preparation of food for the gatherers to be from al-niyaha. Al-niyaha was from the actions of al-jahiliyyah, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called it a type of kufr, meaning minor kufr, where people would gather and they would wail and cry and then give food out and they would complain and so on and so forth. So now this hadith, it has been differed over whether it is authentic or not. And Al-Albani rahimullah, he considered it to be authentic. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimullah, he considered it to be authentic. Rawahu al-Imam Ahmad, and also I think Ibn Majah, and Hassanahu al-Albani. It's not in the book, but if I remember correctly. So because of this hadith, some of the ulama, they mentioned that this type of gathering, where a place is announced, and then everybody gather in that place for 3 nights, and then food is given out to everybody, this enters into niyaha. However, what is permitted, rather encouraged, is for the neighbors and the relatives to cook food for the family of the person who has died. This is permitted. And this is establishing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Ja'far radiallahu, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, when he passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his family, he said, "Isna'u li ahli al-Ja'far ta'aman, fa innahu qad ja'akum ma yushaghiluhum." He said to his family, "Go and prepare food for the family of Ja'far, because something has come to them which is going to now occupy their minds for the next few days." So for the neighbors, the friends, the relatives to cook food or to prepare food or to buy food for the family of the deceased, then this is permitted. And Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he mentioned that even if the guests, i.e. the relatives who have come from a far away, if they travel into the town in order to be with their relatives, for them to eat from this food, this is also permitted. And then afterwards, there are certain innovations which occur, like for example, the recitation of the Qur'an, or the saying of the adhkar upon seeds or date stones, and then throwing them into a utensil, which is often done. And also Ibn Baz rahimullah, he was asked about the setting up of big marquees, or, you know, big tents or marquees in which people can all gather and then food is given. And he mentioned that all of this is from the bid'ah, al-muhdathat, all from the innovations. After this, we come to al-ihdad. And the meaning of al-ihdad is the period of grief, or the period of mourning, or the period of waiting. And this ihdad, Shaykh ibn Baz rahimullah, he said, لا يجوز للمرأة الإحداد على ميت أكثر من ثلاثة أيام إلا على زوجها. It is not permitted for a woman to mourn, to observe this period over the death of a person more than 3 days, except her husband. فإنه يجب عليها. And in that instance, it is obligated upon her what? 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. So when it comes to observing a period of mourning and grieving, then there's two types. Is it her husband, or is it a friend or relative or anybody else? If it is not her husband, then it is for 3 days. And if it is a husband, then it is for 4 months and 10 days. Or if she is pregnant, then it is until the birth of that child. This is the detail when it comes to the ihdad. And the ihdad, what is it? It is a period in which a woman, she remains at home, she grieves, she doesn't beautify herself, she doesn't, and anything which is related to beautifying herself and going out without any necessity and mixing with people or partaking in festivals and happiness and anything which enters into this meaning. This is the meaning of al-ihdad. He said al-ihdad tarku zina. Al-ihdad, it is abandon beautification, adornments, jewelry, makeup, perfume, and matters like this. Al-huli wa thiyab, beautiful clothes, new clothes, jewelry. And the whole point of this is that whilst the woman, because her husband has passed away, she doesn't present herself in front of people in a beautiful manner, so that people don't come to her asking her for marriage. This is the main objective behind it. And for this reason, she doesn't leave her house unnecessarily. For this reason, if she's pregnant, she has to wait until the pregnancy is completed, until she gives birth, or at least 4 months and 10 days have passed from the passing of her husband. Now, I'm out of respect for him because he was a husband and like this. The second matter is that al-ihdad, it is only for women. So the men, there's no special period of not going out and not beautifying yourself, no. Yes, there's grief and there's mourning, and this may last a month or 2 months or maybe even a year. Maybe a person will still grieve and he will not be able to get over this calamity. But the man, from his sha'an, from his affairs, what? He has to work, he has to earn money, he has to go in front of the people. And therefore the ihdad, it is for the women and it is not for the men. So when we say the period of grieving, we're not talking about the emotions in the heart. This is for everybody. We are talking about the physical action of remaining at home, of not beautifying oneself. This is for the women only. And he said, وَأَمَّا الرَّجُلْ فَلَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ. As for the man, then al-ihdad is not permitted for him. And then finally we come to ziyarat al-qabr. And when it comes to ziyarat al-qabr, we will summarize by mentioning that there are three types of ziyarat, there are three types of visits by which a person visits the graveyard. Three types. Al-ziyara al-shar'iyya, wal-ziyara al-bid'iyya, wal-ziyara al-shirkiyya. The ziyara which is legislated, al-shar'iyya which you are rewarded for, wal-ziyara al-bid'iyya, the ziyara which is a bid'ah, and then al-ziyara al-shirkiyya, al-ziyara of the grave, the visiting of the graveyards, which takes a person to the level of al-shirk and al-kufr. So what is al-ziyara al-shar'iyya? What is the correct legislated form of al-ziyara? This is the ziyara which is done without there being a fixed period. So a person doesn't say, okay, every Thursday I'm going to visit the graveyard, or the first of every month I'm going to visit the graveyard, or on the anniversary of the death of Fulan or Fulana, I'm going to visit the graveyard. Secondly, it is a ziyarah which is done with three objectives. First of all, at-tadhkir bil-akhirah, in order to remind a person regarding the akhirah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ, that I used to forbid you from visiting the graveyards. However, now go and visit them because it reminds you of the akhirah. Secondly, الدُّعَى لِلْمَيِّتِ, the second objective, to perform dua for the person in the grave, for the deceased person, that Allah forgives him and pardons him and expiates the sins and so on and so forth. And then finally, الدُّعَى لِلنَّفْسِ, that a person also makes dua for himself. So a person says, اللهم اغفر له واغفر لي, oh Allah, forgive him and me, وَعْفُ عَنِّي وَعْفُ عَنْهُ, and pardon me and pardon him. I ask you for thabat for him and for me, and like this. These are the three main objectives. With the first objective, to remind yourself of the akhirah, a person is also allowed to go and visit the graveyard of the kuffar. But only the first objective. Because the graveyards of the kuffar, we're not allowed to make dua for them. But as for at-tadhkir bil-akhirah, then this is fulfilled whether you visit the graveyard of the Muslims or even the non-Muslims. Then the second type is az-ziyara al-bid'iyyah. And this is when a person goes to the graveyard either at set times or periods. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said regarding his own grave, he said, La taj'alu qabri eidan, do not make my grave eid. And what is the meaning of eid? Is from the verb aada ya'udu, to return and to come back. So the eid, it is called eid. Why? Because two times in the year it returns to us. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. Jum'ah, we consider it to be an eid of the week. Why? Because we know every Friday is Jum'ah. It has every 7 days it comes back. So whenever a person sets a particular set period to visit the graveyard, then he has made it an Eid. And this is not allowed with the graveyard of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never mind the graveyard of others. So a person can go and visit the, if a person is in Medina, you can go and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day if you want to. But if you make it in your mind an Eid, that every day I'm going to visit, every Thursday I'm going to visit, then it is not allowed. And that which is narrated from the companions is that they would visit it every now and again. Or if they were going on a journey, then they would visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and send a salah wa salam upon him. Or if they return back from a journey into Medina, then they would go visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the most which is narrated from the likes of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, if he went on a journey, he would come to give salam to the Prophet, and if he returned from the journey, he would give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But never did they make a routine every Thursday, every Friday, or every month, or on Rabi al-Awwal every year. They did not do this, and this enters into وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِي عِيدًا, do not make my grave an Eid. Secondly, if a person goes to the graveyard, this is also bid'iyah. In order to worship Allah, he's going to worship Allah, but he thinks that this grave, it has a particular fadl, a particular virtue, or maybe the worship of Allah is going to be more accepted, then all of this enters into bid'ah. Why do we not call it shirk? For example, a person goes to the grave of somebody and recites Quran there. Naam. Or he gives charity there. Why don't we call it shirk? Because he's doing it for the sake of Allah. He knows Allah is going to reward me. And Allah is the one who benefits and harms. He's not making dua to the person in the grave. He's not reciting Quran, hoping for the reward for the person in the grave. So we don't call it shirk. But why is it a bid'ah? Because he considers that this grave has a particular fadl or a particular barakah which it does not have. And therefore, we consider it to be a bid'ah, an innovation. So to worship Allah in the graveyard, considering that there's some fadl in it, this is considered to be a bid'ah. And as for al-ziyara al-shirkiyah, then this is that which contains a shirk wal-kufr. A person goes to the graveyard in order to make dua to the person in the grave, or to make a dhabh in the name of the person in the grave, or to make tawaf around the grave, or to ask for one of his needs, al-istighatha, wal-isti'ana, wal-isti'adha, and all of these affairs, then it becomes a ziyara, shirkiya, kufr. It takes the person out of the fold of Islam, and this was the action of the Quraysh from al-jahiliyyah. Now, we suffice with that, and this is the ending of the book. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا طيبا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت والله أعلم صلى الله على نبينا وسلم بارك الله فيكم.